Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. We sure hope you have been enjoying our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ecclesiastes. Today, Pastor Paul will be teaching us from chapter 12.
Jesus is the bridge.
In recent weeks, I have been at the bedside of a few of our church members just before they died. One I spent time with the day before he died, and two I spent time with on the day they took their last breath, this side of eternity. In each instance, I was forced to face my own mortality, to admit that my time will be coming soon also. Our secular culture fears death so much it euphemizes it. People use words like, "he passed on," or "they departed this life." They don't want to say the real words, "he died." Or other people just ignore the inevitability. They try to pretend like it won't happen to them. But to the true follower of Jesus, facing death as a reality is the best way to live today. It causes us to take into account our lives and make sure that we are making every day count for eternity. It especially makes us not want to waste our youth when we have the energy and drive to accomplish great things for our Savior and King. This is the point Solomon is driving home as we near the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Understand, he was writing it first and foremost for his own son, who he mentions in chapter 12. He wanted young people to get the message, make every day count now. Don't throw your life away and wait till you get old before you make important decisions. And so, as we look at this, going back all the way to chapter 8, verse 16 and following, we're seeing a section where he says, sometimes life doesn't make sense. And he says, when you don't understand, you've given it your best shot, you can't figure out what God is doing in this world, rejoice. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? And he says so that in chapters 8, verses 16 through chapter 9, verse 10, when you don't understand life, rejoice anyway because God's in control. But then secondly, we started noting in chapter 9, verse 11 through chapter 12, verse 8, when you don't understand, work wisely in the light of eternal judgment. He made observations in chapter 9, 11 through 10, 20 that no matter what resources you have at your disposal, things could happen at any moment to bring it all crashing down. So the question you ask is, then should I live in fear and dread at all times, not knowing when the shoe is going to drop? No, he says. You don't need to live with a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. So he exhorts us, starting in chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 8, with some very practical exhortations. In chapter 11, his point is, live life to the fullest, because life is short and the future is uncertain. You don't know what is going to happen today. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, so live life to the fullest now. In verses 1 through 6, he said, be generous and diligent. Then in verses 7 through 10, he said, rejoice today. Why? Because dark days are coming. So enjoy the light while you have it. Go out and enjoy life. Experience a full range of emotions and experiences. Young people, listen to me. Enjoy life now. Don't wait for someone or something to come along to make you happy. But, he says, know that God is watching and you will be held accountable for the kind of fun that you are having. Don't engage in harmful activities that will take away your youth and vitality. Don't engage in excessive behaviors that will mess up your body and your brain. Don't do dumb things in your younger years that will make your later years that much more difficult. I unfortunately did a lot of those things in my younger years, and I abused my body through sports and other things, and I have paid the price ever since. So he says, have some wisdom here. Yes, enjoy life while you're young, but keep in mind your body is important. Take good care of it. Well, why wouldn't I want to do those extremely fun things that are highly dangerous when I'm young? This will bring us to Solomon's third exhortation. Not only be generous and be diligent, not only rejoice today, but he now calls young people who are trying to live their youth without God to a serious wake-up call. And his third exhortation we see in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 is, remember God. Now again, chapter 11 was live life to the fullest because life is short and the future is uncertain. Chapter 12, his point is live life to the fullest because life is short and the future is certain. You do know what is going to happen to you someday, and that thing that is going to happen to you is what happens to all of us. You are going to die. It's going to happen. So seek to live in a daily relationship with God before it's too late. Notice what he says in verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. There was a young girl one time in a hospital, and there was a nurse there who was witnessing to this young girl. And she was challenging the girl to give her life to Jesus now. But the little girl said she was going to wait until she was older to turn to God so she could enjoy all the things of youth. The nurse said, no, trust God now. Give him all the joys and beauties of your youth. But the young girl refused. Well, a little bit later, the nurse came into her room with some withered roses and said, these are a gift for you. The girl said, I don't want a gift that's dried up, old, and withered with no fragrance left. The nurse then said, that's what you would like to do to God. You want to wait until your life is dried up, withered, with almost no fragrance left, and then you're going to give it to him. Oh, my young friends, God deserves much more than that. He deserves a gift of your life today. And the message today is not just for young people. If you are at a more advanced age, then you need to listen carefully to Solomon because he says some things and he wants you also to respond before it's too late. Because the difficulties of old age are a wake-up call to every one of us that we are dying. Let me give you a statistic I came across at one point. The number one cause of death in the world today is birth. Did you catch that? Everybody who is born is going to die. Why is that? We live in a sin-infested, cursed, fallen world where the wages of sin is death. And old age and death is coming for everyone, and in most cases, it is not pretty. So as a pastor, I watch a lot of people die. Some die peacefully in their sleep, but a lot of people die painfully while battling diseases and serious sicknesses. And listen to me, young people, it happens quickly. The years go by way faster than you think. One man said it this way, about the time your face clears up, your mind begins to go. Well, that's true. I'm experiencing that myself because we are not only growing older with all of the challenges of being older, we are also living longer. Listen to some common feelings I came across that are amongst the aged of our culture. There's several. Number one, a sense of uselessness, that they are just a bother to everybody around them. Secondly, guilt. They sit there and ponder how they fouled up their lives and wish they could live it over again. Thirdly, bitterness and resentment. Some are sitting there just thinking about the raw deal they got in life and how they deserved much better. Fourthly, a sense of self-pity. And fifthly, a horrendous sense of fear. Fear of heights, fear of bankruptcy, fear of ill health, fear of dying, fear of being left alone, fear of losing their mind. And so Solomon says in verse 1, remember. Remember your Creator. Now, this is an interesting word in the Hebrew language. It means to act decisively on behalf of someone. You might be thinking about the time in the story of Hannah, when Hannah wanted to have a child and she cried out to God and she begged God that she could have a child. And it says in the text, the Lord remembered Hannah. He acted decisively on her behalf and enabled her to have a child. What Solomon is saying to you, as a young person, act decisively today on behalf of the living God, your Creator. Realize He is the essential ingredient you need to have a truly happy lifestyle. Listen to what He says and act accordingly. Don't follow the dictates of your own heart. Follow His truth. Act decisively on what God says while you are young. Make a decision today. Draw a line in the sand. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Do it now. Choose God once and for all. Determine to live your life His way and don't look back. Now, at this point in Ecclesiastes, I can hear a lot of my evangelical pastor friends saying, finally, Solomon got to the point of the whole book. Finally, he's going to call people to repentance and faith in God. Well, that's true. He could have said these things in chapter one, but I believe there was a reason he didn't. And that reason is Solomon experienced himself what a lot of us experience in our lives. We are stubborn. And we have to learn the hard way. I went to the school of hard knocks, which was the 2x4 to the side of the head, before I learned anything. And that's what Solomon is addressing. So for 11 chapters, he has given you every argument known to man to answer your foolish pride and your rejection of God as the rightful creator and ruler of your life. Sometimes we want to pound this into the heads of people. Sometimes we yell or scream and we preach and we leave gospel tracts and we write notes. We leave Bibles open to certain pages for them to walk by and read, but they're not listening. So Solomon gives 11 chapters. Every argument they believe is right, he dissects it and shows how foolish it is so they can feel deeply how futile life is apart from God. And then finally, they realize, wow, I see clearly now. Lord, I need you. Derek Kidner, writing on this, said, to remember him is no perfunctory or purely mental act. It is to drop our pretense of self-sufficiency and to commit ourselves to him. Young people, I ask you, will you make a decision today? Act decisively on God as your Creator. Submit to Him as Lord of your life. Cause your life to come into conformity with His eternal and sovereign plan, because He is the Creator of all. He is your Creator. And when evil days come, you want the Creator to know you and to strengthen you. If you've just joined us, you are listening to The Bridge. This is the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So young people, turn to God while there is still time to discover the meaning of life and alter the course of your life. See, if living for God is something important before you die, then it's important when you're young. It's important every day. And Solomon says you want to do this before the evil days come. And you will have no delight in those days. You will have no desire or longing to have those kinds of days. And this is what so many people are experiencing in our life. The time of being old. The time when your body is failing. The time when you're about to die. They're not pleasant. It's very challenging. And so many people are struggling with this even now. So Solomon begins to describe this to try to wake up young people. Make the most of your days while you have the chance. In verse 2, he starts describing this, and he says, before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. The sun, light, moon, and stars are darkened is referring to your age, your mind. You're getting old. Your brain doesn't work like it used to. Your memory is beginning to fail. And clouds return after the rain. See, the rain ends, But the sky does not appear to improve. It's still gloomy. And just when you think the rain is gone, clouds start forming again. And this is what happens. The aged mind begins to get dull. Senility comes in and steals the joy of living. Clouds form in your head. You can't remember things anymore. You walk into a room and you forget why you walked in there. This is the reality of life. And a sense of gloom comes over you. You recover from one injury or illness, and then you're subjected to another one after another one, and hopes and dreams are dashed, and depression sets in, because all of a sudden you realize it's not going to get any better. Derek Kidner says, "The clouds will always gather again, and time will no longer heal, but kill." Verse 3, he says, "In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim." The watchmen are those who are there to preserve and protect and guard the house. But instead of guarding, they're trembling and quaking. There's terror. There's quivering. He's talking about the shaking of the head and the trembling of the voice and the shaking of your hands as you get older. You no longer have the strength to defend yourself like you could when you were younger. When the mighty men stoop, this is those things that represent strength, efficiency, ability, wealth. It's those things that could protect you, and they no longer are able to do that. One man said, "One sign of old age is when our knees begin to buckle, but our belt won't." Well, that's a problem. He goes on to say, "The grinding ones stand idle." He's referring to your teeth. Your teeth no longer function the way they should. Perhaps they're falling out and there's not enough of them to chew anymore. And so you're struggling with that. And those who look through windows grow dim. Your eyes get weaker. One thing that happens as you get older is you need more and more light to be able to read. And that's a funny thing, is you have to turn brighter and brighter lights. When you're young, you can almost read in the dark, but as you get older, you need lots of light. And then your eyes get weaker, and you need glasses, and then you need thicker glasses, and then you need bifocals, and you need trifocals. Then you get cataracts and glaucoma and blindness. This is not a pretty picture, is it? And Solomon wants you to see it for what it is. Verse 4, "The doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly." The doors are like the double doors on a grand house or an entrance to a city. It could refer to your lips. And as you lose more and more of your teeth, your lips begin to fall into your mouth. And the grinding mill is low. It means you can't eat like you used to. And now you're eating strained, soft foods. And that's why no noise is made. You're relegated to things like creamed foods and applesauce. And he says, "One will arise at the sound of the bird." As you get older, the slightest noise wakes you up, and then it's hard to go back to sleep. And he says, "All the daughters of song will sing softly." He's either referring to the fact that you can't hear songs well anymore, or you can't sing songs like you used to. Your vibrato is just so wide, it's covering several notes now. And he says, "Young people, listen, young people, perhaps this hearing loss is hastened by listening to extremely loud music with headphones on, or playing it so loud in your car that people a quarter of a mile away can hear it. Why are you doing this to yourself? Oh, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun, but there's consequences. You feel invincible right now. You think that you can handle anything, but you can't. Even as we speak, you're deteriorating. Your body's beginning to go. And Solomon's challenge is, don't abuse your faculties while you have them. The day is coming where you're not going to have them. You're going to regret what you did with them when you had them. Verse 5, "Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street." You understand that to a person who is old and feeble and defenseless, the world is a place of great risk and physical danger. Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, "The sluggard says, 'There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets.'" And so he doesn't go outside for constant fear of what might happen. "Men are afraid of a high place." Oh, so many older folks have a fear of heights. I've noticed that I used to be able to climb trees and ladders and all kinds of things and go up on my roof and put Christmas lights and climb up steep cliffs without any fear. But now it's not quite so stable. And I've got to be careful, and it's only going to get worse as I get older. He says they are afraid of terrors on the road. They don't know what might happen. And even a lot of people in our culture, they begin afraid to drive anymore. Maybe that's why your grandparents warn you every time you go get in your car, because they want to protect you, because they think you're like they are. Now listen, when you combine the loss of memory with weak arms and legs, shaking hands, impaired night vision, and dizziness, it is no wonder that older people don't like to drive at night. But then Solomon says the almond tree blossoms. If you had an orchard of almond trees in full bloom, they would be a silver gray color. He says as you get older, your hair is going to turn gray. Have you noticed how many people put color in their hair to try to convince themselves they're not getting older? Now listen, I'm not opposed to doing that. My daughter is a hairdresser, and she's making a lot of money off of people like you. You know what they say, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Listen, every time you get your hair colored, you ought to take pause and realize you're dying. And God is warning you, your time is coming, get ready. He says the grasshopper drags himself along. He's talking about slow movements. You can't walk quickly anymore. You start by needing a cane, and then a walker, and then a wheelchair. And then he says the caperberry is ineffective. Now, this is an interesting phrase. Most scholars believe it's referring to procreation, that you're no longer able to bear fruit sexually. You become impotent. Chuck Swindoll said, the encouraging news is this one appears at the end of the list. Josh McDowell one time said he had a professor he interviewed who was 82 years old. And he said, "Professor, at what age does a man stop enjoying a sex?" The professor said, "I don't know, but it's sometime after 82. And then he says, man goes to his eternal home. And that, of course, refers to death. Then the mourners come along. Solomon says, verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. Remember him. The silver cord is your spinal cord. The golden bowl is your brain. Before a clot makes its way into the golden bowl and lodges in the brain, and then you're unable to do what you want to do. The pitcher by the well is shattered, is heart failure. The wheel at the cistern is your circulatory system stops what it's supposed to do. And all of this is grim news. So Solomon says, before you get there, remember your Creator. You realize that death is just an open door. It's just a new door to another life. And we're not ready to live until we're ready to die. What happens after death? Verse 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Your dust, your body is going to go back to the grave, and your spirit's going to go back to God, and God will then judge you, and you will either see a big smile on your Savior's face, or you will hear him say, vanity of vanities, you wasted your life. Life's not a bowl of cherries. Life is tough. Life is sickness and terminal illness. It's broken hearts. It's broken marriages. It's broken relationships. Life is not enough food and not enough hope. Life is discouragement and depression and times of bewilderment and uncertainty. Life is deterioration, disappointment, and ragged edge reality. How futile to live your life not knowing the key to living. What a waste to die without having enjoyed life or knowing what it was all about. And yet it's hard to find it when you're old. So Solomon says, young people, while you're young, come to know God. Go for it in life. If you know God, be generous and diligent. Rejoice today. Every day is in the hands of your God who loves you. Remember him. Remember him. I was told the story of a little boy. At age 6, his parents died. He was taken to the home of a relative, and he was fearful going there, and he was traveling through the darkness, and the man taking him there says, oh, don't worry. She'll be waiting for you. The light will be on. He arrived, and she welcomed him in. She brought him in and fed him a wonderful dinner and took care of him until he grew up. Many years later, she was about to die. And he said to her, hey, I just want you to know, when that time comes, the Lord's going to wait for you. The light will be on. A meal will be there. And he will welcome you into his eternal home. Are you ready to face God? Young people, get ready right now.
You have been listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. We would love to have you join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Pastor Paul is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. That is 3 blocks west of Reseda Boulevard on Sherman Way. For more information about our church and or to listen to previous sermons and radio broadcasts, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. If you would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do so on the website as well. And please, join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on 99.5 KKLA.